Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press for October the 18th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Today, we're going to go over updated lines for the CJ Cup in South Carolina. We will make some picks based on modeling that we've run. It's fully available to our members on golfnewsnet.com for just $30 per year. Just not much money to be able to access our tools and data. And we'll also talk about horses for courses. We'll talk about current form, course fit, all that stuff in this episode. Again, fully available, all this information for our members at golfnewsnet.com for $30 per year. However, we want to talk about it here because some of this stuff is obviously publicly available. It's not hard to find. And for our model purposes, the top 10 most weeks is pretty obvious, I think. And if you look at the history of our model going back to March 2020, so the 2.5 years that we have done this, basically, if you look at when we nail winners, and we do a lot, they're typically inside the top 13 of our ranking. So yes, occasionally you may miss somebody in the top 15, 16, 20 that wind up winning a tournament. But if you look at what we have done recently from the FedEx Cup playoffs, and you can even go further back than that, but from the FedEx Cup playoffs on, our winners were 6th, 5th, 3rd, 5th, 5th, 11th. And we didn't run a model for the Sanderson Farms, and we didn't run a model for the Tour Championship. Tour Championship was obvious because of the stroke implications, but for the Sanderson Farms, there was just such little interest and just didn't really do it. So if you look at those last five events for which we have done models, the winner's in the top 11. So this week, I feel pretty good about telling you about our top 10 or any week because, frankly, that's where you're going to find the biggest value. So let's go through the top 10 for the week. We'll go in order. If you're not familiar with the system that I use to create this model, it's a mixture of medium term and long term. So 1 year and 2 year windows to look at strokes gained and strokes gained against the quality of competition. And then weight that against the competition for this week. So I want to know how many strokes you gain, how many strokes you're gaining against superior competition or the competition that you play against. And then I want to know how many strokes you're gaining and the quality strokes you're gaining against this particular type of field, this particular depth of field. Then I want to know how you're doing recently, to a lesser degree, how you've done in the last 5 PGA Tour events and how you've done at this venue in the last 3 years. And those are weighted less. That all comes together, creates a score. If you have a score over really 1 point, you're doing great. If you have a score over 1.5 points, you're a superior player. If you have a score over 2 points, you are probably a dominant player in terms of how many strokes you're gaining and how well you're playing relative to your competition. So we won't go over all the points and stuff. I will just give you the top 10. And this is largely, again, we talk about the tournament host course to a degree. We have 1 year of this host venue, the Palmetto Championship in 2021. Only 19 players in this field competed in that event back then, a full field event. This is 78 players, different now. So not a whole lot of experience to weigh in on this. So this is largely without any kind of horse for course knowledge related to the model this week. So the top 10, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sam Burns, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Sung Jae-im, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, and Corey Connors. So there's your top 10 for the week based on the model. Again, looking at a long-term view of this, these are the players who are going to be kind of your baseline, the players you will like a lot because they're just good in the long haul. They're not necessarily going to win this week, but more often than not, these are the players that win. So that's where you're probably going to start your week. Then I want to look at kind of our horse for course type picks, current form, all that good stuff. And a couple of things that really stand out to me. First of all, as I was compiling this list this morning, there are a lot of players who are in this field this week, almost an insane number of players who have finished in the top 15 in at least two of the last five PGA Tour individual events played. So you got 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 20 players have at least two top 15 finishes in that stretch. So that includes two parts of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Well, the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then what you have with the Zozo all the way back to basically the start of the season. So it's pretty wild, honestly. It's pretty wild to have that many players playing this well. But a couple of ones stand out to me. And some of them are obvious, right? Player winners, Keegan Bradley's a winner. But Ricky Fowler was interesting to me. Yes, he was T2 at the Zozo. I totally forgot he was T6 at the Fortinet. And saw an update from Butch Harmon, who said he basically thinks Ricky Fowler is 75% where he needs to be or where he needs to get back to kind of get back to where he was. That's way ahead of what I thought he was going to be at. So I think you really have to consider him this week. Sungjae Im is someone I think that flies under the radar a little bit too much. Continues to play great golf. Someone I think you have to look at this week. We talked about Matthew Neesmith. I love betting Matthew Neesmith because I'm just waiting for a big hit on him to win. He's been in the T9 range in his last three starts. T9, T2, T9. I mean, you have to look at him this week. Maverick McNealy is also someone I didn't think about, mainly because I used him in one and done for the Fortinet Championship. He missed the cut and just kind of made me sour on him. But then you look at his last couple of starts. T10 at the Shriners, T12 at the Zozo. Playing well, young guy. Yeah, we talked about travel yesterday, but young guy should be able to get over it with the shuttle that they had, the charter flight that they had from the PGA Tour event in Japan at the Zozo that apparently went to Dallas, and then you could take a flight from there to Savannah for this week's event. Then Sahith Theegala, again, right back in your brain, if you look at what he's done, T15 at the BMW, obviously not the best at the Tour Championship, kind of behind the eight ball there, T6 the Fortinet, T5 Zozo Championship. Aaron Wise, played well in the playoffs, but has not played well this season. So kind of one guy we want to think about maybe the opposite. We like what he's doing overall, but maybe not the hottest hand. So those are some guys to really think about this week. And then Andrew Putnam has played well. I thought he kind of came out of nowhere. He's played well the last two events, T12, T2 in the Shriners and the Zozo. So that all in hand. Also want to look at the prior tournament that we have here from 2021, the Palmetto Championship, which filled in for the RBC Canadian Open because they couldn't play it with COVID protocols. If you look at the top 15 from that full field event, most of them are not in this field. But Tyrrell Hatton finished T2. You have Matt Fitzpatrick finished T10. Those are really the standout. Chez, T14, Harris English, T14. So those are some potential standout there. The ones I want you to take away from that are really Tyrrell Hatton and Matt Fitzpatrick. And then if we look at our course fit, so this is something that we do every week when we do modeling. It's separate. But if we look at a golf course and how, and obviously we do this more often for golf courses that are yearly, played every year on the PGA Tour. But we kind of look at the breakdown of the profile of players who finish in the top 25 for a full field event, right? So you're looking at the top 15 to 20% of a field. What do they do? How do they look in terms of how they gain strokes and in the way that they gain strokes in the five major categories? And then how does that compare to what players do when they finish that well in a tournament? And let's see where the crossover is, the overlap is. So Palmetto is fairly interesting in that there's a lot of emphasis on tee to green on this golf course. And you might figure that being one of the longer courses on the PGA Tour, 7,600 plus yards. It is the third longest course on the PGA Tour this season behind Torrey Pines South and Corrales Punta Cana, the Punta Cana championship that they have in March. So this is a long golf course. It makes sense then that you have way more than usual off the tee percentage, 28%. That is very high for a PGA Tour event. Typically, it's more like 18, 19, 20. So you've got a big skew toward off the tee strokes gain. Approach, 33%. That is actually a little bit less than usual, typically in that 35-36%, and then around the green 15%. That just kind of seems to be a natural, and that's a common number, I would say. That you're playing a little bit with the numbers here this week on putting a tee to green, and then within that, off the tee and approach. So a little bit of movement there. But if you look at those course fits based on that breakdown, you're going to get a lot of great players. And one guy we didn't mention who's playing hot golf, Tom Hoge, continues to play great golf. Someone you should look at this week. But those course fits include Sungjae, Ricky Fowler, Aaron Wise, John Rahm, Emiliano Grillo is playing well, and Tom Hoge, as mentioned. So there is a lot there to work with in terms of players to like this week. So let's take a look at the updated odds for the CJ Cup. The market hasn't changed a whole lot here based on what we saw yesterday and talked about yesterday. But you still have Rory McIlroy at 650, John Rahm 900, Scheffler 1100, Max Homa and Justin Thomas at 16, Matt Fitzpatrick at 18 along with Sungjae. So we'll get in the top 10s and 20s and first round leader stuff a little bit as well. But I think some guys to look at this week really do stand out based on current form to a degree, but also where they're at in terms of the price. So I like Matt Fitzpatrick at 18-1. I think that's a good number. I'm going to stay away from anyone under 10. I know there's value there. I just don't have much fun with it. I like Shane Lowry at 22 because the BMW PGA Championship win. He had a good FedEx Cup playoffs. He's had a really good season. 22 is a good number for him. Cam Young, 28-1, makes a whole lot of sense given how well he drives the golf ball, how long he hits it, and how well he rates in our model overall. Tyrrell Hatton, 35-1, really like this week. Again, rates high, played this golf course well in the past. There's plenty of reason to like what you've seen from him, and he rates well in our model too. Then I do want to address Taylor Montgomery, who is playing great, great golf and probably is worth a bit of a flyer, but the market has priced him like he's already an established player, and he's at 45-1. I don't think I'm willing to take that gamble on Taylor Montgomery in a field that is so elite, that has got 30 of the world top 50. However, he is plus 330 on a top 10 bet. I would be very interested in that number in a top 20 bet, just looking at that. Maverick McNealy has not won on the PGA Tour. I will not take him to win at 65-1. I don't think he is there quite yet. Do I think he's going to win? I've said that last season in its entirety, and I still think it's going to happen very soon. But against this elite field, it seems unlikely. Plus 400 on the top 10, though, that feels pretty good. Now, some guys to take some flyers on. Brian Harman, 65-1. We did not talk about him at all in that lead up there, right? And probably for good reason. He is streaky for one, and he tends to be a shorter hitter on a golf course that requires a lot of length. However, he also often outperforms what he should do based on his driving distance. So at 65-1 is a really interesting long shot play to me. Sahith Theegala, though, I feel like is a must play at 70-1. His odds are just too long given his current results. Same thing with Tom Hoge. Just too long given current results and given course fit. I think you have to respect that. I think you have to look at Ricky Fowler at 80-1 and Alex Noren also at 80-1. And Alex Noren is a huge, huge sleeper in our model. He's up there. He's in the top fourth of the field and he's at 80-1. He just makes a whole lot of sense. Again, a top 10 bet on him would make a lot of sense. I think both Fowler, Noren, we talked about Hoge could be worth it on a top 10 as well. Sahith, I would go on a top 10 too. I mean, all those are each way guys. Maybe a half point to win, and then same thing, half point on a top 10 bet. Those guys make a whole lot of sense. Tommy Fleetwood gets a lot of love in our model this week. He's certainly worth a look in the long haul. I don't know that he's entirely back, but the haircut is nice. A lot of people are going to bet Sepp Straka. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to bet him at 80-1. I think that's a very good value for him, given what he has accomplished, and obviously he's been playing quite a bit, but he does play quite a bit. So I like that number. My big sleeper for the week, though, I think is Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk is one of those guys that always rates well in our model, and he never gets much love from the betting community or the DFS community. And given what happened here in 2021 with Garrick Higo winning and Chesson Hadley, who was going to win, I think, until the meltdown, I can see a scenario where a long shot wins this tournament. If I'm going to bet a long shot, it's going to be there. It's going to be Chris Kirk. Just plays well in the South, tends to play well in the South, tends to play well on this kind of surface. Again, not the longest hitter in the world, but just kind of tends to handle it pretty well. And again, as I mentioned, my mega long shot that I don't want you to put more than just a couple of dollars on is Byo Kim. 1,001. He's had a great year, really great year. And 40 to 1 on a top 10, just put $5 on each and you'll be happy if it works out. If not, you really won't have lost anything. So those are the guys I really want to look at for the week. We will dial in a final card. Actually, not too long after this, I'm going to head over to our casino in Maryland. We have 6-3, not too far from me, and we still don't have mobile betting. Hopefully that comes next month, but I have to actually physically go to the casino to place these wagers. So I will be doing that right after the show, and we'll give you that card for tomorrow. So top 20 bets. We did talk about some of these that are interesting. You know, the first positive top 20 bet you're going to think about probably is Tyrrell Hatton at plus 115. You want that plus money. I could see a Taylor Montgomery at plus 140. I can't bet him to win, but I could bet him on a top 20 or a top 10. Matt McNeely, same thing. Can't bet him to win, plus 160 on a top 20. That's not a bad number. Emiliano Grillo never wins, plus 170 on a top 20, though. That feels good. Sahith, plus 170 on a top 20. That feels good. Alex Noren, plus 200. That's actually pretty good money on a top 20 for that range of guy at 80 to 1. Noren, Fowler, Straka, even Harris English in that plus 200 range. English plus 230 even for top 20. Those are not bad wagers whatsoever. Obviously, once you get into the top 40 range, given that this is a 78-player tournament, you see very little value. But if you want to place a top 40 bet this week for some plus money, two of them, Ches Reavie plus 120 and then Byo Kim plus 175. Those would be the two I would look at for that. Let's look at first round leader numbers. As you imagine and as you probably know, the market for first round leader tends to follow the market for tournament winner. McIlroy 14-1, Rahm 16-1. I probably wouldn't even get involved here just not knowing a whole lot about the golf course, right? But I think if you want to take a couple of shots, Cam Young 35-1 could be interesting. Victor Hovland 35-1 could be interesting. Taylor Montgomery 40-1 could be interesting. Maybe even Aaron Wise at 40-1. Mito Pereira got off to a great start in Vegas and then just kind of fell apart. Then that may continue, but I'm tempted to look at him, but I would say Emiliano Grillo 50-1 is also really, really interesting to me as a guy to look at. Sahith at 55 is also pretty interesting, but that's probably where I would go there. I tend not to bet those. It's just really hard to get behind first-round leader bets with one round, such variance. It's really hard to kind of predict. And maybe if we see a trend over the course of the season, we'll feel differently about it. But at least right now, that's what my feeling is on first-round bets early in the season. Some interesting matchups this week posted by the folks. And there are a lot more this week than your standard fall weeks from the folks at DraftKings. Obviously not a whole ton of plus money out there to pick up for the week. Shane Lowry against Max Homa at plus 115 could be of interest to me. I think Max is going to play well, but Shane Lowry, I think, is going to play better. Other than that, if you wanted to put a little on Matt Fitzpatrick over Scottie Scheffler, plus 105, I can see that value. I could be interested in that. Cam Young, plus 105 over Tom Kim, who's probably a little tired. I could be interested in that. And that's probably the extent of it on those I see at DraftKings. Then we got tournament props. Will there be an albatross? Will there be the winner in the final pairing? Wire to wire? All that stuff. No, thank you. They've got some interesting double or triple chance markets here in terms of players that you probably would be interested in and you might want to get at a combined price. And this actually is a compelling market for this. The lead one is plus 300, Rahm Scheffler, Thomas to win. But they're not going to give you Rahm and McIlroy together. McIlroy, Fitzpatrick, Shane Lowry to win, plus 320. No. I mean, those don't. I don't want to do this with favorites. I want to do this with guys that maybe I'll like a little bit deeper. Cam Young, Sam Burns, Keegan Bradley. They're always going to throw one that throws you off. I mean, Keegan Bradley just won. He's not going to win again back-to-back weeks. He goes years between wins, not week. So let's take him out of it. Hovland, Hatton, and Fleetwood at plus 1,200 to win is intriguing to me. Model likes Fleetwood. Model likes Hovland. I like Hatton in the model. Likes Hovland. Or excuse me, Hatton. So that could be, there's no kind of player in that group. If you wanted to take a longer shot, I don't know why you would do this, but if you really felt passionately about it, I suppose, you can get Fowler, Thigala, and Snallings to win at 25-1. I would rather just put some money on them at 80-1 individually and take your chances there. If you do want a two-chance market, McIlroy, Rahm plus 320, that's not bad. You're sacrificing from 650 and 900 down to 320, but you get two horses. Again, I see it. If you want to kind of put a low value bet on that, but I just don't see the point. Just bet them individually and take your chance if you like them. Hole-in-one wagers I would not touch at all this week because the golf course is long. The par threes are at least 170 yards, max out at 230. It's just unlikely to be a hole-in-one this week. Winning margin, however, does interest me. One stroke, two strokes, and a playoff interest me. Because of how close this tournament was in 2021. I mean, there were a ton of people tied for second place. And so I think this is probably a one, two-stroke win situation. So that's actually interesting looking at given what we know about the golf course. Playoff special, 72nd hole, I'm not touching that. Golfer props, players to make holes in one. It's all 100-1. No thank you. Don't need to touch that market. Nationality props, we'll probably talk to those tomorrow. Mallorca Golf Open, like I said the other day, I'm pretty much going to stay out of this. I have really no interest in what's going on in this tournament from a betting perspective. However, I will look at Richard Mansell at 22-1 to win. I will look at Eddie Pepperell at 25-1 to win. And I'm definitely going to take a couple of dollars on Kiradek Oppy Barnrat at 55-1 to win. Not a whole lot. That's my investment. That's the end of it for me. Too random of a tournament. New venue, random field, not touching it. But if you want to have a little spice with your morning coffee watching the DP World Tour, there you have it. All right, let's get to it for us today on the press. Thank you so much for listening. Working on that video version for you. Hopefully we'll have it tomorrow or Thursday. Get things going so you can see my lovely shining face in the morning as we go over these odds with you. And we'll give you a format where you can really understand what we're talking about, what's going on, and show it to you on the screen. So looking forward to that. Thank you so much for your support. We will talk to you tomorrow on the press.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.